So I wasn't going to do this morning. I wasn't going to talk about the coronavirus because I thought, you know, we've been hearing about it all week. You don't want to hear about the coronavirus anymore. And I had my sermon basically all tidied up and ready to go. And then Thursday, I went to Respects. Yeah, did anybody else go to Respects on Thursday? I saw some of you in Respects on Thursday, so I know that I was not the only one in Respects on Thursday. So I pull up. This was, mind you, Thursday is when they called school for the rest of spring break, right? So if you don't know this, school's out for like 3 weeks now. Spring break, extended spring break with the coronavirus. They shut down the schools on Thursday. So I go to Respects about 5 o'clock. Worst time in the world to go to Respects anyway. But I go to Respects thinking Abby's got a few things, you know, that I need to get at the store. I'll just pop in, pop out. And I pull in the parking lot, and oh my goodness, I think half of Monroe County was in the Respects parking lot. And I'm like, well, this is busier than normal. So I just walk up to the front of the store. And the first thing I notice when I walk up to the front of the store, no carts. I'm thinking, oh, this isn't good. And there's a window boarded up. Now, I'm not sure. I think this had something else completely, you know, other to do that wasn't related to the coronavirus. But, you know, no carts in the front of the grocery store. Packed parking lot and the windows boarded up outside. I thought, what am I walking into? So I get in the store, right, and I'm walking around and I have my list. And then I bought toilet paper. I wasn't planning on buying toilet paper. I promise, it was not on my list. But I'm walking around the store, I'm like, well, maybe this is for real. I don't know. Maybe I should buy the toilet. So I thought, as I got my list finished, and I'm asking the people in the store, and I'm talking to the workers, and they're like, it's been crazy all day. And I'm like, maybe I should check out the toilet paper aisle. So I go to the toilet paper aisle, and did a great job, Dave. They still had toilet paper. Everybody else is cleaned up, but Respects had toilet paper. And I thought, I'm going to sneak a pack of toilet paper here. Maybe I might need this. Here's my point. Your anxiety can easily become someone else's anxiety. Now, I'm going to say a few things this morning because I don't want to diminish what's going on in the world. I think we can go both extremes here. Okay? We can go full-blown, the sky is falling, everything's ending, shut yourselves in for the next month. Or we can say, just a cold, which it's not. But let me make a point. I was talking to one person, I won't say her name, she was a member here. And I was just saying, I joked on my way by her in the meat aisle. I said, you get your toilet paper? This is before I got my toilet paper. I said, you get your toilet paper? And she kind of laughed, and she's like, but seriously, she said, I wasn't worried until I came in here. Your anxiety can easily become someone else's anxiety. If we're not careful in how we handle this as people of God, we can lay our anxiety and all the things that are going on in our head on someone else and make them unnecessarily anxious. John records a series of events at the end of Jesus' life. In John 14 through 16, he offers an extended look into the last meeting of the disciples together at the Last Supper. 14 through 16, if you want to turn there, John 14 through 16. And I love the way that this passage begins and ends. So 13 is Jesus' washing of the disciples' feet. Then he has this long conversation that lasts for 3 chapters in the book of John. That starts this way. In John 14, he says, let not your hearts be troubled. And what's going on here is the disciples are starting to pick up on things. Jesus hasn't said anything specifically about what tomorrow will bring. Tomorrow will be the day that he dies on the cross. But they're starting to pick up on things. They understand that he's acting a little different. He's saying some things that are different. And they're starting to get nervous. And Jesus is picking up on their anxiety. He understands that they're starting to get nervous, and so he starts out by saying, after he puts the pan away and finishes washing their feet, don't let your hearts be troubled. And for the next 3 chapters, he explains why they shouldn't be troubled. He said, I'm going to go away, and I'm going to prepare a place for you. I'm coming back to get you. It's not going to be the end. In fact, what you're going to experience in the days after I'm gone is going to be even better than when I was with you. He says, I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit, and he spends 3 chapters talking about the Holy Spirit. one of the most in-depth conversations that we have in Scripture about what the Holy Spirit does and what He's going to do when He comes. And Jesus says, it's to your advantage that I go, because the Holy Spirit will come. And this is how He ends the passage. chapter 16, flip over a few pages to chapter 16. And this is, if you're reading the bulletin article this morning, this was in the bulletin article. As soon as Jesus ends this conversation, this is what He says, verse 33, I have said these things to you, that in Me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Jesus wants the disciples to know that there will always be trouble, right? There will always be wars. There will always be epidemics. There will always be problems to worry about. But He wants them to understand that I have overcome all these things. And as people of God, we should take heart in Jesus' statement, I have overcome the world. That means everything. And so here are a few thoughts this morning. And this is not going to be an extended sermon. I'm going to cut it short for a reason. At the end, I'll explain. But a few thoughts, as we kind of think about the next few weeks and maybe next couple months, you know, if you were paying attention this week, they were talking, Mike DeWine's office, Dr. Amy Acton, one of his experts in communicable diseases, was talking. They expect this in Ohio to peak late April, mid-May. So it's going to ramp up. We're seeing the beginning of this, and things are going to change for the next few weeks. We don't know. I mean, I don't know what we'll do here next week. I don't know. I can't promise you that we're going to meet. The elders are meeting this afternoon. I'm sure they'll talk about it. They'll decide what we do with this. Prudence is not fear. Okay, I want to make a distinction here. Prudence is not fear. Proverbs 22:3 says, the prudent man sees danger and hides himself, but the foolish man walks into danger and is worse for it. Prudence is not fear. Just because you take measures to protect yourself, those around you, choose not to do certain things these next few weeks, that is not fearful. That does not have to be fearful. Sometimes that's just wise. And this is going to change very rapidly. And so I'd encourage you not to think that you have to strong-will yourself through this. If you feel like next week you don't need to be here, if we're still here, then don't be here. Prudence is not fear. Here's what is fear. Worry. There's a difference between being prudent, being wise, being careful about what you choose to do, and constantly worrying about it to the point that it affects every part of your life. And sometimes I'm not sure that we understand the difference between the two. Sometimes we put concern into the category of worry. It's not. It's different. Worry is everything is consuming my life with this, and I think about it all the time, and I stay up to date on the latest hourly news of this virus and what it's doing and how I should respond, and I'm posting on Facebook all the time about the virus, and I'm going to the grocery store and I'm wiping out all the aisles of toilet paper and hand sanitizer, and I'm making everybody else nervous so that somebody walks into the grocery store and now is concerned because they don't see anything in the aisles. I got a text this week from my mom. She said, I thought this was a joke. Empty bread aisle, empty toilet paper aisle at the town I grew up in's grocery store. There are several cases in Carroll County, Maryland, where I grew up now. She's like, I thought this was a joke. So I think sometimes we have to make sure that we are not concerning other people with our level of anxiety in this. By all means, take measures, take precautions if you need to change your habits or whatever. Some of those among us are susceptible to this more than others. Some of us are going to have to take more drastic measures to protect ourselves, protect our families, and those around us. But that doesn't mean that you're weak. That doesn't mean that you're not strong enough. It just means that you're being prudent. Worry is the concern. And that passage that was read this morning is where I want to focus, because in that passage that Paul is telling his readers in the Philippian church not to worry, he says these words, chapter 4 of Philippians, verses 6 and 7, he says, the Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Peter would say it this way, cast all your anxiety on Him, because He cares for you. Whatever's concerning you, and some of this is very concerning, right? I mean, if we would have an outbreak in our community, I'm not sure that we have the medical staff, the facilities and the resources to deal properly with it. It would be hard on a lot of folks. So there's a level of concern here. But that level of concern should not be spread and spread and spread. Cast it to God. Give it to God by prayer. And then he finishes this way, and the peace of God, and the result is the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And this is where Jesus ends up. In the world, you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. And so this morning, what I want to do is as I wrap this thought up to you, our president asked that we designate today, March 15th, as a day of national prayer. And I think that's an appropriate response when we're faced with these kinds of issues. Regardless of your political affiliation or your thoughts about the president, I think that's appropriate to do today. And so what I want to do is take the next few minutes with you and to spend some time in prayer. Praying for those who've already been affected, for those who will be affected, for our medical staff and those of us here who we have in our group and a number who are medical personnel who will be probably affected by this. I want to pray for everyone. So if you would, feel free to pray in whatever posture you want to, and let's pray together this morning. God, we want to take a moment, Father, as we close our time in Your Word, and we think about what You've said to Your followers throughout history, God. There have been epidemics, pandemics, wars, all sorts of issues that have affected Your people throughout history, and God, each time these things have happened, Your people have come to You. And so that's what we want to do this morning. We want to bow before You as Your children and ask that You would give, first of all, wisdom, Lord. That You would give wisdom to everyone involved in this situation worldwide. That You give wisdom to the government leaders who are making decisions for the people. That You would give wisdom to the medical staff who are advising the government officials. And that You would give the latest, most recent understanding of what this virus is and what it holds for us so that we can be informed. Father, we don't want to be ignorant. We don't want to just flippantly ignore things that are to be concerning. But on the other hand, Father, we want to be measured. We want to have a certain calm about us, God. As Your people, especially because of all folks in this world who should have a measure of calm about them, we should be one. And Lord, I pray that You would help us as we interact with folks and have opportunities to do that both in person and online through the way our world currently works. I pray that You would help us to be responsible in how we talk about things, to be careful, God, in how we discuss this, realizing that our anxiety, if we have any, can easily spill over into someone else's life and be cause for concern unnecessarily. And so, Father, we want to ask that You give us careful speech, Lord. Help us to be wise in what we say. And help us to be wise in what we do, Father. The church leaders, God, all over our state and other states who have to make decisions about their worship assemblies and about their activities that they do or not do. I pray that You would help them, God. Give us all wisdom as we deal with this. Lord, give our medical staff the capacity to handle, Lord. Father, there are concerns, Lord, if this would become widespread enough that we would overwhelm the current capacity that we have in our country of hospital beds and resources available to us to be able to deal with it, Lord. And I pray that You would stem the tide, Lord, that we would be able to properly handle that You would give medical staff directly in the way of this, the ability to handle it, and to be able to do so in a way that provides the best level of care for each person affected and to the degree that they're affected. And Lord, ultimately for our nation, Lord, I pray that this would be something that unites us. Lord, it's a rough part of our society right now that we live in where we're so divided. And Lord, I pray that you would be with us, that you would help us to unite as a country, Lord, against dealing with this, and that you would be with those who are affected, Lord, those who are sick, that you would give them the proper level of care. Father, thank you for being our Father. Thank you for giving us hope beyond what we see here. And Lord, I pray for each of us as believers that follow you, that you would help us as we try to give a measure of hope to those who are in the world who have none. And Lord, it's times like these where people's lack of faith and their lack of stability is often unveiled, Lord, in the fact that they don't know if something would seriously happen to them, where they would be. And Lord, I pray that we would be able to have those conversations with people, that this would be an opportunity for folks to look at their life and evaluate the end of it. Lord, if it's now, if it's by some virus, or Lord, if it's simply the fact that all of us will die at some point, Lord, I pray that you would help us to be able to have conversations that are eternally minded for folks who need to have conversations about this. And Lord, thank you so much for hearing us. Thank you for being our Father and for being present with us. And we pray for that peace, Lord, that you promised us, a peace that passes all understanding. It's in your name that we pray all of this morning. Amen.